Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. My name is Joker, and today we're going to be talking about our most modern women narcissists. Now, I always get a few of you that are like, well, actually, that's not narcissism. That's blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be reading from this article, but I'm also going to read from a medical, well, not a medical journal, but it's called, Very, Very Well Mind. I'm not trying to get into the medicine parts of this. I'm just trying to tell you guys some things to be aware of when you're out there in the dating world and you're trying to even vet for red flags or decide if this is someone you want to date before you even meet them. And that's kind of critical because it saves you time and it helps you avoid somebody that may be able to fake it to you or fool you, because I hear many stories, and I've had this happen to me myself, where you say, hey, I didn't see any red flags. She seemed okay. And then once you started dating, everything got really weird, or she love bombed you and you got totally sucked in. So these are some things to kind of pay attention to. And also it'll tell you a lot about what's going on in the world today and why we're facing so many issues that we are between men and women and everything like that. So I'll get recording here so you guys can see my screen. And they say, our most modern women narcissists. So before we get started quickly, don't forget you can join me over on betterbachelor.locals.com. Joker is wild, or Joker's wild, like plural of Joker. We'll give you a free month as a supporter if you want to see some of the content that you might be missing as just a member. And then if you guys want to support me, I would appreciate it. It'll let me slowly move my way, have a backup site from YouTube. And I have a poll up over on my, if you go to my page, I have a poll up under content that you can check. And I said, how do you like your content? And vote if you want, if you're okay with the occasional curse word in there, or if you'd like me to keep it clean because you listen to work or in front of kids. Because if I get even just a couple percentage of people that want it clean, I'll keep it clean because I don't want it to be unavailable for anyone. And if you listen to it around your kids or something like that, I want you to still be able to enjoy my content. I do put everything over on betterbachelor.locals.com unedited, and I will sometimes go on longer rants than I do here on YouTube, because I'd have to remove too many words or YouTube might not like the concepts I'm talking about. So if you want my fully unedited content, join me over on betterbachelor.locals.com. And I do have content that is unique to subscribers over there as well. Okay, how to spot a female narcissist. This is by Juliana Stewart. I'm going to read this first, and then we're going to jump over to how to, or a little bit more of a deeper discussion of this. But I wanted to read this one because they talk about specifically female narcissists or narcissism. They say when people think of a narcissist, they tend to think of a man. He's usually in a position of power, self-centered, obnoxious, manipulative, abusive, lacks empathy, and is downright toxic. In other words, politicians, newscasters, some might even say YouTubers. But what about a female narcissist? Everyone has worked with or knows a woman who is extremely bitchy and overbearing. Perhaps she's your coworker, friend, sister, aunt, or even your mother. Most of the time, these women sail through life without ever being criticized for their bad behavior because people are too afraid to say anything, and rightly so. Female narcissists are expert liars and manipulators and can be just as cruel as their male counterparts. They have similar traits, but some distinct behaviors are more prone to her. Here's something that is important, is that if you look at a lot of the feminists, if you look at a lot of people that are pushing their narrative and they want you to listen to what they think about, when you try to have a discussion and come up with a counter argument, or you want yourself to be heard, they usually will shout you down, or they will call you names, or they will try to shame you to shut you up. And when you say, no, look, all I think is, and they just get the blah in your face, that is because they know they can't argue back. They know they don't have a leg to stand on, and they basically just want you to listen to them, but what you say is irrelevant to them. They don't want to learn. They don't want to change their minds. Sounds like a lot of modern women today, right? Here are the top signs you may be dealing with a female narcissist and some practical ways to deal with her. She is an attention seeker. The number one thing a narcissist craves above all is attention and excessive need for admiration. Whether she needs constant attention through social media, friends, family, or she's a power junkie, attention and admiration from others, especially from codependents, is what fuels her. Some psychologists call this a narcissistic supply. Now, I have done a lot of reading on narcissism because the last relationship I was in was with a narcissist, and I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know it was poisonous. I didn't know how they worked. And man, did I get fooled. I mean, I got really fooled and I got suckered in, and it ended up really throwing me for a loop. Like, I just couldn't believe, like, how could somebody change this much when I thought I knew them, but I didn't really. So let's talk about the attention seeking. If you look on social media today, if you look on everything today, really, but social media is the big thing, and dating apps, how many times do we see women that say, I deserve this. Look at me. I'm beautiful. I'm wonderful. I'm funny. I'm creative. And I'm just out there, and pay attention to me. We also see this from politicians. We see this from news journalists. We see it almost everywhere, that everybody, it's definitely the me generation. The reason why that's so dangerous is because when somebody is like that, not only is it that they want the attention because it validates them and it makes them feel good, in many cases, they need the attention. That if it goes away, they start getting a bit of a freak out. They get very unhappy, and in some cases, they get desperate for it. This is where, like, if you go to Reddit and look at some of the NSFW, the Not Safe for Work threads, you will see women on there that are just exposing themselves for no reason other than to get comments and likes on their photos. They don't get money. They don't get anything. They're just looking for validation, and they will go so far as to just show themselves without clothing to get that validation. She's so desperate for attention, she may even act horribly just to get a rise out of you. You've heard the saying, even negative attention is better than no attention, and this is how she thinks. Yes, you give them attention, they want positive attention. When you don't give them enough positive attention, then they want negative attention. That's why you get a lot of the back and forth where it's like, dude, I don't know, I was really nice to her, things were going well, and then all of a sudden things went to crap. And then it went back again and forth. And that's that toxicity, that poisoning of back and forth, back and forth. And it, as a man, it'll drive you crazy. Well, even as a woman, I mean, to anybody, it'll drive you crazy. The thing is that they need something. They need something, some form of interaction. She loves to gossip. A female narcissist loves drama, that back and forth. And one of the ways she creates it is through gossiping. Everyone enjoys gossip now and then, but the difference between a normal person compared to a narcissist is that she's malicious about it. When women gossip, it's usually to vent or share some harmless details, but a female narcissist does it to cause hurt and emotional pain. She may do this by spreading rumors about you. She'll trash you, she'll trash talk you, or destroy your reputation and relationships. We know these women too. They're the ones that will take photos of themselves or their dinner, but will crop you out of the photo. Or they'll do a selfie and angle the phone so that you're not in it. And these are the same ones that tell little fibs and tales just kind of to make you angry with them. Because when you're yelling at them, it shows them that you care. You know, whether you're happy with them or you're angry at them, either way, it's a way to show you care. The minute that somebody tries to get a rise out of you and you go, whatever, and you move along, well, they realize they can't get a rise out of you, and so they start fishing for it. This is why a lot of guys that are popular and strong-willed and are pretty good-looking, the reason why women want their attention so much is because they can't get their attention very much. They're always trying to crave it and draw it out of them, and these guys are like, whatever, don't care. And again, that's very enticing for women. She's super catty and will pit people against you for no other reason than to cause drama. If she feels threatened by you, she'll do whatever she can to tear you down. Not to your face, though, but behind your back, because she's a coward. Number three, she's obsessed with her looks. Physical appearance is super important to a female narcissist. She is obsessed with her looks, making sure she's the perfect body size, wears the perfect clothes, and has the perfect hair and makeup. She uses her looks to be on the center of attention and can be extremely jealous of other beautiful women, including her own daughter. She wants to feel like she's the most beautiful woman at all times. If you look at all the selfies on social media, the women posting the selfies and the duck faces and the here's my body and here's me in a bikini and pay attention, pay attention, pay attention to me, that's part of it. Now, the other thing with the obsessed with her looks, this is also the woman that's like, look, I'm curvy and I'm okay with it, and you should be too. or I'm not perfect, but the guy I'm looking for needs to be. That is, again, kind of the same thing, where it's they see no fault in themselves and they cannot handle criticism. Many of you guys say to me, like, oh, dude, the last video you watched was, or the last video you recorded was unwatchable, or because of audio or because of video. Or you'll say, hey, when you remove that woman's name from the dating profile of the day, when you use the clone tool, you gave her two belly buttons. Yes, I did that. It was very bright out, and I was having a hard time seeing the my screen, and say, so I just mask out this photo, and I accidentally used the clones. Saying I cloned her belly button, and a lot of you guys caught it. Well, if you call me out on that, I'll be like, yeah, that was my bad. Why? Because I'm okay taking criticism, and sometimes it's warranted, sometimes it's not. But either way, you know, people that are healthy, you go, okay, yeah, like I hear you, I don't agree with you, but I respect what you're saying, or thanks, I'll take it to heart. When you have this conversation with a narcissist, they will go nuts. They will immediately get defensive. They'll try to turn it back around on you. They'll start gaslighting you. This is what narcissists do. She's hypersexual. She uses her sexuality to get what she wants from men, whether it's flirting and leading a man on, even if she's not interested, or by hooking him with sex. A female narcissist knows how to exploit a man through her sexuality, right? So these are the girls that are on the dating apps that are showing, you know, themselves very enticingly, and they have either nothing in their profile, or they are just basically bashing on men, saying negative things. But they know it's a thirst trap. They know that men are going to look at their bodies and say, well, maybe I have a chance at that. I'm going to go for it. And that's kind of luring him in with her sexuality. The other thing they do is they love bomb you, which is, wow, when you first go on a couple of dates, it'll be, wow, I can't believe we have so much in common. I'm so attracted to you. You're so hot. They sleep with you a lot. Everything seems to be really good. She's really into you. And then once she feels like she's got you hooked, and maybe you might be saying the I love you back, or you're paying attention to her, she knows she's got you. Then she starts to pull away to create that drama and to purposefully stress you out. And then your reaction to that stress by saying, what's going on? I don't understand. Why are you angry? And that drama she likes. And then when she feels you finally giving up and pulling away from her, I got flies flying around here. They keep landing on me. It's driving me nuts. So if you see me flailing, it's because I got flies landing on me today. If she sees you pulling away and at the point where you're like, that's it, man, I'm done. I'm over this. She's crazy. The minute you say, you know what, I'm out. Sometimes she'll give it a little bit of time. Sometimes she'll try to shame you right then. But usually she'll come back around and be like, I've been thinking about you and I was wrong. And let's try to make this work out again. And so you go back and you try it. She loves bombs you again and draws you back in. It's called the catch and release. Like they throw you away, then you draw you in, and you throw, and they get energy from that back and forth. But again, how many women today are hypersexual, whether it's on the dating apps, whether it's on social media? Tons and tons of them are using that for validation. She loves to shame. She lacks boundaries and gets a kick out of shaming you. She'll detect your vulnerabilities and will use them against you to lower your self-esteem. She may do this by bringing up past mistakes or deliberately asks you to do things out of your comfort zone. For example, if you're an introvert and shy, she'll force you to do public speaking, to watch you squirm in front of a crowd. Knocking someone down is her way of building herself up, and this is how she justifies her bad behavior. Number six, she's always the victim. She's always in some crisis, whether it's with her partner, friends, family, job, health, or money. She loves playing the victim in all of these scenarios to gain sympathy. The way she sees it, when people evoke compassion for her, they're easier to manipulate. She denies responsibility for any wrongdoings, and she depends on others to fix her problems rather than fixing them for herself. She's like a child, basically. This is the same when they, not only do they do this to gain sympathy, but they want to elicit attention, and they want to elicit you helping them. And so when you have the one female friend, or even a guy friend, that's always like, oh man, can you help me? I can't pay my rent, and can you just lend me a couple of bucks? Or more recently, women are now, hey, here's some spicy pictures. How about $5 or $10 for them? And you go, no, I don't have to pay for that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, okay, well, it's because I can't pay my rent, or my kid can't afford this. Tough, but again, they're trying to elicit a response from you. She's entitled. Man, if that's not a vast amount of women today. A female narcissist feels entitled to just about everything. She believes she's special, unique, and people owe her their attention, time, and resources. She'll do this by taking your belongings without asking or invading your personal space or by dictating how she thinks you should spend your time and resources. She never returns favors unless it benefits her in some way. She lacks the ability to give or receive genuinely. Now, again, let's talk about the dating profiles that I do on here. Now, some of you guys have said like, oh, there's no way these dating profiles are like this, or they're fake, or you're just doing this for clicks or whatever. Look, join a dating profile site yourself. If you're in a big city that's got, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 5 million people, what are the odds that 0.1% of people are nuts? More than likely, it's probably closer to, I don't know, 2, 3, 5% of people. Well, out of millions of people, when you get even 1% of millions of people, you're getting 10,000 people that are kind of wackadoo, right? So to find these profiles is not difficult. Users send them in to me. I find them myself because sometimes I'll install a dating app and start swiping to see if I can find some. They're all over the web. They're easy to find. And so you don't have to fake any of this stuff. And if you guys don't believe me, just install a dating app, make a decent looking profile of somebody else if you want to, and just start swiping and reading. The entitlement on these things, which is you look at somebody and they're either already pregnant, they're fat, they're out of shape, they don't take care of themselves, they've got two kids, they don't have any money. And then on top of it, they say, I am this, love me for who I am, but you better be tall, you better be handsome, you better have a good income, you better have a six pack, you better be hung like a horse. Like, they have all this entitlement in there. This is, again, many, many women out there today. She's a bully. Finally, all these traits boil down to her being a bully, plain and simple. Anyone who is manipulative, controlling, domineering, demanding, and takes pleasure in dragging you down is someone you shouldn't have in your life. They talk about how to disarm them. I'm not going to talk about how to disarm them. This is because it's simple. This is how you disarm them. Goodbye. That's it. Just walk away. Don't try to fix them. Don't try to help them. Don't try to explain yourself to them. Don't try to justify what you're doing. Just say, done. Block. Walk out. That's it. And it's over. Whether you love them, hate them, whatever. Just, it's called going gray stone, I think, gray rock. Just give them nothing in return. Walk away. And they, you'll see them go through the, maybe they talk about doing self-harm. Maybe they talk about, I'm going to do this. I'm going to threaten your work. It's all to get a rise out of you or get you to respond. Just block it, drop it, move on. That's the best thing you can do. And this is an article from Very Well Mind, How to Recognize Someone with Covert Narcissism. Now, covert is the most important one, and this is the tactic that many women are using today. Overt or open narcissism is when someone says, I am awesome. I am awesome. You should appreciate me, and you should like me, and people love me, and I'm rich, and look at my fancy car, and check me out. That's overt. Covert is, in my opinion, the dangerous one. That's the one that I fell into in a relationship, because she wasn't like that. She was shy. She was reserved. She was quiet. She was friendly. And I thought, wow, well, there's no way she's a narcissist because she's so reserved. But what was really going on is the attention she wanted, and everything that she was doing to get the attention was kind of on the down low. And you didn't really realize what she was doing it. But instead of saying, I'm awesome and you should love me, one of the things she might do is she might love bomb you and say, wow, we're so similar and you're awesome and I can't wait to see you. And she sleeps with you a lot. And then you start like really kind of going for her because you think, wow, she's really into me. And once she's got you hooked and get those hooks into you, now you're her supply, or now you're the one that she will give her energy to. You didn't see it coming. You didn't realize it was happening. But it's kind of like a little hook coming in and grabbing you without you feeling it. And before you know it, you're stuck in there. They say, let me see if I can zoom this in a little bit so you guys can see it better. Most of the time, it's easy to spot the narcissist in the room. We talked about that. Let's go down here and talk about the covert. In the field of psychology, behavior can be described as overt or covert. Overt behaviors are those that can be easily observed by others, such as those of the traditional narcissist described earlier. Covert behaviors, however, are those that are more subtle and a bit less obvious to others. A covert narcissist is someone who craves admiration and importance, as well as lacks empathy towards others, but can act in a different way than an overt narcissist. When considering the behavior of narcissists, it might be hard to imagine how someone could be a narcissist and be inhibited in their approach and behavior. A covert narcissist may be outwardly self-effacing or withdrawn in their approach, but the end goals are the same. For example, this might be described as listening to your favorite song while blasting the volume, compared to listening to it to the same song at a low volume. The song itself hasn't changed, just the volume in which you're listening. Right, so again, it's kind of like instead of being loud and in your face, they're more subtle about it, and you don't see it coming as much. An interesting study that I read talked a lot about narcissists and career choices. One of the interesting things, and I'm not ascribing this to all doctors at all, so please don't think that I'm saying that, but one of the things they talked about is how doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, and people that help others in many ways are covert narcissists, or they find that covert narcissists take those jobs. The reason being is they want to feel important. They want to be needed by others. They feel important themselves because they're helping others. And so a lot of narcissists will get into that. Now, again, don't be hating on me. I'm not saying that doctors and psychologists are all like that. I'm just saying that in that field, a lot of people that want that supply and that attention and that feel good for helping others, they go into these fields because it's not that they want it, it's because they need it. They need to feel like people appreciate and want and love them, and so they go out and help them. Now, there are other people that just go out and help people because they're good people. I'm not saying these two are the same, but again, it's out there on the web if you want to do that search. Overt versus covert. Covert narcissists are only different from overt, more obvious, narcissists in that they tend to be more introverted. The overt narcissist is easily identified because they tend to be loud, arrogant, and insensitive to the needs of others and always thirsty for compliments. Their behaviors can be easily observed by others and tend to show up as big in a room. When we think of an overt narcissist, we could say they demonstrate more extroverted behaviors in their interactions with others. Researcher and author Craig Malkin, PhD, suggests the term covert can be misleading. In his work, he states the term covert is often used to suggest that the covert narcissist is sneaky or that their strive for importance is not as significant as an overt narcissist. In fact, he reports the trait of an overt narcissist and covert narcissist are the same. Both covert and overt narcissists navigate the world with a sense of self-importance and fantasizing about success and grandeur. And again, maybe that's why doctors... maybe why some of them go into the doctor field, because they're successful, which is success, and grandeur, they're important. Both individuals need to meet the same clinical criteria to be diagnosed with a narcissistic personality disorder, whether they are extroverted or introverted. Both have deficits in their capacity to regulate their self-esteem. Many people have fallen victim to the manipulative behaviors of a covert narcissist without realizing what's happened until they're already in emotional pain. It might be more accurate to suggest that the overt narcissist would be a lot easier to see coming than the covert narcissist. It's not unusual for people to find themselves in long-term relationships with covert narcissists only to be hurt by a sense of lack of partnership or reciprocity in the relationship. That's kind of what happened to me. Is that I got in with this person. She was great. We had a lot of fun. We seemed to have a lot in common. She really was into the same things I was. She got me into some of the things she was. And then over time, I felt like I was the one that was putting in all the effort and I was doing the work. And I couldn't understand why I didn't feel like we were in the same team anymore. I felt like she was just drifting away. And the more that I tried to kind of reach out and draw her back in to be a partner or part of the relationship, the more she fought it. And eventually she ended up cheating and going out and getting attention somewhere else. And that's another thing that narcissists often do, especially covert ones, is we call it monkey branching. But when you're a normal, healthy person, when you're in a relationship and you decide it's getting over, you say, okay, we've broken up. Let me kind of recenter myself as a single person. Let me rediscover my purpose in life. Let me become happy as an individual by myself. And then when you say, okay, I'm good, then you go back out and look for a relationship. Well, narcissists, what they do is they go from relationship to relationship to relationship. Now, that also can be a form of codependence, which is different, but it needs that validation from somebody else. Well, the covert narcissist many times will quietly be cheating on the side for more attention. They'll quietly be setting up another relationship with somebody else. And once that's going and everything's solid, that's when they come back around and break it off with you, because they have their new narcissistic supply already set up. They don't want to go any extended period of time without someone being there for them, because deep down inside, they hate themselves. They don't like themselves, or they're unhappy or insecure. And this goes all the way back to childhood in many cases, because the love they got from their parents or whoever raised them wasn't a healthy type of love. And so their definition and meaning of love is messed up. Signs to look for. And again, I'm not saying that I'm right about this stuff. Go look it up. Go look it up. I've read many books on this. If you disagree with me, that's fine. I'm just trying to give you some topics to maybe think about and go out there and look so you can learn more about it, because many people are becoming like this today. And the more you understand that, the more you can identify somebody as this, and the easier you can avoid them or recover from the damage that they've done to you. They say signs to look for. Although there are some clinical criteria that need to be met in order for someone to be diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder, there are some general traits and patterns to look for in everyday interactions. Passive self-importance. Where the more overt extroverted narcissist will be obvious in their elevated sense of self-worth and their arrogance when interacting with others, the covert narcissist may be less obvious. The covert narcissist certainly craves importance and thirst for admiration, but it can look different to those around them. They might give backhanded compliments or purposefully minimize their accomplishments or talents so that people will offer them reassurance of how talented they are. That one's an important one. How many women are post selfies that are like, feeling ugly today, or frowny face, or, my hair didn't turn out how I liked. And then they post a beautiful selfie of themselves. And by putting themselves down, instead of saying like, look at me, I'm beautiful, they say, oh, I'm just having such a bad day. And what does everybody do to try to cheer them up? You look great. Oh, you're beautiful. I love how your hair turned out. That is their narcissistic supply, but they've done it by the inverse of an overt. They've put themselves down to get that adulation instead of saying, look at me, I'm great. Backhanded compliments, we know kind of how that is. And they minimize their accomplishments. So, okay. Overt narcissists, we already talked about that. Okay, blaming and shaming. Shaming others is a wonderful tactic of the narcissist in order to secure their sense of an elevated position in relation to others. The overt narcissist might be more obvious to their approach in gaining leverage, such as explicitly putting you down, being rude, criticizing you, and being sarcastic. The introverted covert narcissist may have a more gentle approach to explain why something is your fault and how they are not to blame. They might even pretend to be a victim of your behavior to engage in emotional abuse and to put themselves in a position to receive reassurance and praise from you. At the end of all these interactions, the goal of the narcissist is to make the other person feel small. Right. So this is a fact where you're like, hey, and this is, again, probably I'm using this as an example. May not be the best one, but it's one that comes to mind because it happened to me. They might say, oh, I cooked this dinner for you. And you go, wow, thank you so much. You're eating it and you're enjoying it. And you're like, wow, it's great. And they'll ask you, is there anything you'd have me change to make it like better or more specific for you? And in your mind, you're thinking, wow, how sweet of them. They want to make this perfect for me. So you might say, you know what? I like a little bit more garlic and like a little bit less onion. And it would be perfect. I mean, it is awesome the way it is, but that would be perfect. And what their comeback might be, so you don't like it. No, I just said it's awesome. I really like it. It's delicious. I'm really enjoying it. But you asked me what I would change, so I just changed these two little things, but it's great the way it is. Well, if that's how you feel, I'm not cooking for you anymore. What do you mean? I'm saying I like, and that, again, that fight, that drama, right? And they're putting it on you, that now you criticize my cooking, so I don't want to do something for you anymore. It's incredible manipulation, but by you saying, no, no, it's great, and I'm really glad you cooked for me, and you're really special, and thank you so much, that's the attention they want. Creating confusion. Although not always sneaky, some covert narcissists can take joy in creating confusion for someone they are interacting with. They may not engage in blaming or shaming, but instead cause people to question their perceptions and second-guess themselves. Right? We call this gaslighting. Another way to create leverage between them and another person, the covert narcissist needs to use tactics like this to elevate themselves and maintain power in the interaction. If they can get you to question your perceptions, then this allows them the opportunity to manipulate and exploit you more. again, you could use the dinner situation where I just used, where now all of a sudden you're like, wait, you asked me what I wanted. I'm just replying to you, and now you're upset with me. I'm confused. What do you want me to do? Right? It throws you off your game a little bit. The other way they'll do that is if they say, I'm going out to the club with my friends tonight. And you say, okay, female friends, male friends. Oh, just me and Becky and Amy. And we're going out. What club? Oh, we don't know yet. And before you know it, you're kind of like, so where were you? What time were you out? Who are these three dudes I see you posting selfies with? And they're like, why are you jealous? Why are you checking up on me? Why are you insecure? Why are you spying on me? And they put it back on you like you've done something wrong. In reality, they did something wrong. They may have lied to you. They may have done the bad thing. But by flipping it back on you, the attention's not on them, on something they did wrong. Because again, they can't take criticism. So they'll put it back on you. So now you're trying to not only still find out what they did wrong, but now you're trying to defend yourself against something you didn't do wrong. This is how the manipulation goes. Procrastination and disregard. Because their need for self-importance reigns supreme, covert narcissists will do whatever they need to do in order to keep their focus on themselves. So where an extroverted narcissist will blatantly push you aside or manipulate you to accomplish their goal, the covert narcissist is a professional at not acknowledging you at all. It is not coincidence that narcissists in general tend to gravitate toward interacting with caring and compassionate people. The covert narcissist recognizes those opportunities for manipulation as well. They have no problem letting you know that you are not important. Rather than explicitly telling you that you're not important, they might stand you up on a date, wait until the last minute to respond to your texts or emails, always show up late for events with you, or never make confirmed plans with you at all. There's no regard for you, your time, your interests, leaving you feel small, unimportant, and irrelevant. We see this a lot now with women. It's all about me, not about you. And they don't come out and say that, but it's constant disrespect. And this is why I talk about the media disrespecting men and movies disrespecting men. Now that's not narcissism, but in a way it is, because the industry is trying to say women are important, you men are not. And it's a way to elevate themselves while tearing you down at the same time. This is why I say that if you get this kind of disrespect, you maybe give them one shot. Like if you get stood up once, and not like in the first few dates, if you get stood up in the first few dates, forget it. But if you're in a relationship and you get stood up where they don't text and say, let's do it another night, or something happened where they just don't show up and you're messaging and they don't respond right away and they come up with some BS excuse, maybe you give them one shot, otherwise nip it in the bud. They show up late often for your appointments or your dates or whatever. Just say, you know what, this isn't working for me. I have been on a date where I waited, I think it was, we were meeting at like 7 or 8 o'clock. I waited till 8:10, 8:15, and I sent a message. It's like, is everything okay? Are you still coming? I waited another 5 or 10 minutes, didn't hear anything. I left. At about 40 minutes when they were supposed to be there, they're like, okay, I just found parking. I'm coming. Where are you? I'm like, I'm at home. I left. Because you weren't there when we were supposed to meet, and you didn't message me and let me know where you were. So I waited 20 minutes and I bounced. I got better stuff to do. And they got mad at me. You see how that works, okay? Emotionally neglectful. Narcissists are inept at building and nurturing emotional bonds with others. How could they know how to maintain bonds with others if their energy is always focused on themselves? The covert narcissist is no different. So although they may appear kinder and less obnoxious than their extroverted counterpart, they're not emotionally accessible or responsive either. You will likely not receive many compliments from a covert narcissist, remembering that they are always focused on staying elevated to maintain their sense of self-importance. It's easy to understand how a covert narcissist would find it difficult to compliment you. There's usually little regard for your talents and abilities. Usually the narcissist has no regard for those things at all. Just with overt narcissists, you will likely find yourself doing most of the heavy emotional lifting in a relationship with a covert narcissist. Although the covert is more likely to appear emotionally accessible, it tends to be a performance and usually done with intent to exploit or eventually leave the person feeling small through disregard, blaming, and shaming. Since one of the hallmark traits of narcissistic personality disorder is a lack of empathy, the covert narcissist is not going to be emotionally responsive to their partner in a healthy way. That is the love bombing, a little bit of what I'm talking about, which is they draw you in. They don't really care. They don't really love you. They don't really think you have a lot in common. They don't really want to sleep with you so much. It's to trick you and draw you in and get you engaged, and then they can disengage, and you run after them trying to get back that wonderful first or second or third month that you had together. You kind of like, man, that was great. I want that back again. Now you chase them as they're emotionally unavailable and moving on or just have drifted. And you're trying to get that back again. And you chasing after them, that is them getting over on you and kind of taking advantage of you. They say giving with a goal. In general, narcissists are not givers. They find it difficult to put energy into anything that doesn't serve them in some way. A covert narcissist might present themselves in a way that looks like they are giving, but their giving behavior is only demonstrated with the intent of getting something in return. A simple everyday example could be something like putting a tip in the jar at your local coffee shop. A covert narcissist would be much more likely to put their tip in the jar when they know the barista is looking, in order to help facilitate some kind of interaction that allows them to be praised for giving. I'm not sure if that's the greatest example, because I also wait so they can see that I'm putting a tip in the jar, but it's not because I want praise. It's because I want them to know I appreciated their work and I am giving them something for that work. I don't want to be looked at as a cheapskate. Yes, that's part of it. But number two is I want them to see that I appreciate the job, so they know, hey, I feel like you treated me well and I'm rewarding you for that so that you continue to treat other people well, and hopefully they will tip you. So I'm not sure, so sure about, I agree with that one. They say what to do. Avoid taking it personally, which is extremely hard to do. And I'll leave the link to this down below, but I'm not going to like nail all of these. Set boundaries. I talked about that a couple of videos ago. Advocate for yourself. Create a healthy distance. Yes, the healthy distance is leave them out of your lives completely. Walk away. Avoid them. And if you're involved with one, find ways that you can healthily leave. And that's it. So I'll kind of leave it there, but this is just some, give you guys some ideas. Again, I'm not saying I'm necessarily right. I'm not saying this article covers it all, but there are many books about either how to identify, how to get over, how to avoid. And I think with more people kind of getting into this me generation where they feel like they've won rewards because they show up, they get a trophy, right? The participation trophy awards, because this is the type of people we've raised today. They think just their presence in your life means that you should be appreciative of them. That's not enough. But when they have that mentality, these are poisonous, unhealthy people that you want to try to avoid. All right, let's move on to the dating profiles of the day. All right, this gal is 28. She was, I blurred her a little bit. She was pretty good looking. Or is pretty good looking, before I blurred her. I will say this, she was a healthcare professional. That was her job, so this is somebody that's in healthcare. She's 28. She says, I'm going to be upfront here. I'm currently expecting. Okay, so she's pregnant. I'm not looking for a baby daddy. Baby daddy is involved, but we're just friends. We've been separated almost 7 months. No drama there. I'm not actively seeking to date right away either. I want to be able to take some time and get to know someone first. All right, let's talk about this. When you've been in a relationship, a good relationship, where things were going along well and then it ended on good terms or bad terms, either way, people like this are either codependent or they need that narcissistic supply. The reason why I say this is because she's not taking time. I mean, she's still pregnant. Now, if they've been separated almost 7 months, and she doesn't say how many months along she is. If she's been separated almost 7 months, there's one of two scenarios. Number one, she's either 8 or 9 months pregnant. Why is she looking for somebody right before having a kid if the kid is going to be a big part of her life? Number two, she's less than 7 months pregnant. And they've been separated and they're just friends. However, she still was sleeping with him. Either way is somebody you don't want to be involved with. And number two, this is like less than a year since the breakup of a baby daddy and all this stuff. She's not taking time to be alone, which means she's, again, codependent. She may be narcissistic. She may need that validation, that attention, that friendship, that somebody in her life. She's not good alone. Most of the time when you get involved with somebody like this, you're just a stepping stone. You're a warm body near her. You're someone to take her out to dinner or pay attention to her. She's not in a good, healthy mental place. Avoid people like this. Now, if she'd said, hey, you know what? I had a kid. He or she is two or three. I've been single for the last 3 years, trying to adjust to being a mom. I'm now, you know, single for the last two, 3 years or one, 2 years, and I'm now ready to get back out into the dating market. Maybe that's a little bit different. She's still a single mom though, so warning signs. But here she's saying right away, like, I don't want a date. I want time to get to know somebody. Also, I'm pregnant. Also, I'm a kid. Plus, the baby daddy is in my life. The baby daddy in my life. Why? Why are you even on a dating app? Either narcissistic or codependent. Learn how to watch these signs so that you know this is somebody. I mean, this is obviously somebody you avoid. But even if she didn't have the baby daddy, and if she says, oh, I've been single for 3 months and we broke up, and usually they'll say he was harmful or he was the bad, that it's never their fault. Again, narcissism. But they've only been single for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. Avoid them. Walk away, because they're not necessarily in a healthy place. Now, I'm not saying that's all of them, but again, many of them, that's the way things are going. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below as always. If you have, thank you very much. Best way to support me is like, comment, share, subscribe. Join me over on betterbachelor.locals.com. If you're a member over there and you want to kind of see what it's like to be a supporter, try the free month you get with Joker Is Wild or Jokers, plural, Wild. Either one. I put them both in there because some people were not sure which what I was pronouncing. So they both work. You get a month as a subscriber. You can see the content I'm putting out there for you. And then if you decide to stick on board and support me, I would appreciate it. Guys, that's it for me. This is Better Bachelor. I'm Joker. Remember, I'm not saying I know everything about narcissism. I'm not even saying everything I'm saying is 100% accurate. I'm trying to give you some ideas and maybe some things to kind of keep an eye out for, and start looking into this or start reading about it, because the more people today in everyday interactions, whether it's friends, teachers, coworkers, whatever, they're becoming very self-centered and narcissistic. And it's good and a good idea to learn what you're dealing with so that you can navigate your way through life without going insane.